Do you love Christmas? Do you love podcasts? Do you love totals? Do you love the? Well, then you're going to love the Total Christmas Podcast. Run the theme music!
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder Carbine Action 2 on the Shot Range Model Air Rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and your name is... Correct! So, boys and girls, I've got a big old show for you today. Do you want to do the interactive bit? Nah, you want to skip it after last week's fiasco? Fine, do that. Okay, so... Oh, I got an email from Benji Pearson that in previous years... He has dressed as ghosts from A Christmas Carol. So the first year he was Jacob Marley, then he was the ghost of Christmas Present, then he was the ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. He's not going to have a stab at the ghost of Christmas Past. It's just too difficult. If you go by the description in the novel, it's almost impossible, boys and girls. And when I say almost impossible, it is impossible. This year he's come up with two ideas. The first one is A Christmas Viking. And you're thinking, what, a Christmas Viking? And I'm thinking the same thing, to be honest, boys and girls. A Christmas Viking. Well, his point is that some people believe that Father Christmas, not so much Santa Claus, but Father Christmas, although the two are sort of the same thing now, Father Christmas was based partly on, or has similar origins to, I don't know. But anyway, the Norse god Odin. So he's thinking, well, that's Christmassy, and we'll do that. And I don't know, you know, it's something, isn't it? It's up to Benji what he wants to dress as. Don't judge him. Now, he's asked me if I've got any ideas, and to be honest, I haven't really. The only thing I can say is, I know Odin only had one eye, so maybe if you want to put an eye patch on. Other than that, you know, I don't know much about the Vikings. I knew they kept coming over here, pillaging and interfering with our ladies. I know they did that. I'd prefer if you didn't do that, Benji. Anyway, that's about it for that one. But his other idea, right, this is even harder. He's thinking about dressing as Step Into Christmas. Not just Elton John, but the song Step Into Christmas. How's he going to do that? I don't know. I don't know, and I can't go into it now. Maybe in the next episode, we'll have another look at it. We'll look at it from a different angle, see how you could dress up as a song. We'll see. Anyway, should we get on with the show? Yeah, you want to? I want to. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Come on.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol... So here's the thing, I saw this on Amazon, I thought, oh, that's a version of A Christmas Carol. Turns out it's not. And this happened when I did the Honeymooners thing. That hardly had much to do with A Christmas Carol as well, really. That was like two episodes ago. Well, this is the Jeff Dunham Scrooged Up Holiday Special from December 2024. Now, if you're not familiar with Jeff Dunham, let me tell you a little bit about him. He was born in 1962 in Dallas, Texas, and he was given a ventriloquist dummy for his 8th birthday, or when he was 8 years old at Christmas, I'm not sure which, and he's been a ventriloquist ever since. And he began performing, like, for paid gigs while he was a teenager, and he first appeared on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in 1990. Now, his career sort of bumped along for a bit after that. He did a couple of other episodes on The Tonight Show, but then in 2006, he did a special called Arguing Myself on the Comedy Central channel, and it had 2 million viewers and sold 2 million DVDs. That's right, 2 million DVDs. Then in 2007, he introduced Ahmed the Dead Terrorist, and that's when I first became aware of him, and that was like a real massive hit on YouTube. And in the year 2007, Forbes ranked him as the third highest paid comedian in the world after Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld. And he holds the world record for the most tickets sold for a stand-up comedy tour. And he took that record from the UK's very own Peter Kay. which I'm sure Peter Kay is furious about. But Peter Kay's tour was only like a year, whereas Jeff Dunham's tour ran from 2007 till 2009. So there's that. Anyway, that's enough about Jeff Dunham. Let's talk about this crappy Scrooged Up holiday special. So it was filmed in the Pabst Theatre in Milwaukee. And this was an Amazon special, filmed for Amazon, and that's why I watched it on Amazon Prime. And this explains what he's doing.
My wife Audrey came up with the idea of me and my guys doing our own film version of the Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol. I thought that would be a great movie. Why not? Let's see if we can get it made. But then in the meantime, I thought, for my next stand-up special, how about if it's me talking to the guys about their possible roles in the film and what characters I think they should play? So tonight, I'm casting.
Do you see? So it's not a version of A Christmas Carol. Now, he talks there about his wife coming up with the idea of doing a film version of A Christmas Carol. But he says maybe we'll do it next year. Well, that was 2 years ago. Nearly 2 years ago. And there's nothing about it on his website or his IMDb page. So I don't know if he never was going to do a version of A Christmas Carol or if he just said that so that he could set up this show, which is sort of him casting A Christmas Carol. Now, I should describe the setup. So, it's like I said, it's on a theatre, and the theatre is really festively decked out. You've got Christmas trees there, and behind him, the scenery is like a Victorian street, and he's outside like an old tavern, stood there by his microphone. And it's nice, a lot of people in the audience are wearing Christmas hats and that. It's got a good festive feel to it, I'll give it that. So, anyway, he brings out his first character, called Walter. Now, if you're not familiar with Jeff Dunham's characters, I will describe them briefly. And the first one, Walter, he's a retired grumpy old man. And apparently, this is what it says on Wikipedia, it was inspired by Jeff Dunham watching Bette Davis on her last appearance on a Johnny Carson show. And it was like she was older, she just didn't care anymore, and she was grumpy, and she just said what she felt. And that's what this character does. He says what he feels. And we get a bit of the start where they're talking about the fact that it's on Amazon. Have a listen to this.
This is our Christmas special. And this special is going to be on Amazon Prime. Amazon, yeah. Oh, so they're going to deliver the special and leave it on everyone's front porch? Inside another box that's 10 times the size it needs to be? Then some jerk comes along and steals it off the porch and I have to order it all over again?
Yeah, and then they make some jokes about Amazon. There's a few jokes throughout it. And then they make some other jokes about Tiny Tim. And that's pretty much just jokes about the idea that Jeff's dinkle is called Tiny Tim. A bit lowbrow, to be honest. And then there's this bit where Jeff Dunham tells Walter that he's going to be Scrooge. Have a listen to this.
As for our movie, Walter, you would be Scrooge. What? Me? Come on, Ebenezer Scrooge was a very rich man who never got married. Oh, well, hell yeah, I'll do that guy.
I didn't mind that. I thought that was humorous. And there's another joke about waking... Have a listen to this joke, actually. I found this quite funny. Have a listen.
In the story, Scrooge gets woken up three times in the middle of the night. And it gets worse and worse the older you get.
Yeah, so what I found funny about that is he tells a joke, right? And obviously about, you know, when you're older, you're getting up in the night to go to the toilet. And it cuts to this bloke in the audience. And the bloke in the audience is laughing. And then he turns to the person next to him as if to say, that was a good one, wasn't it? And she's a lot younger. And the bloke sort of looks back and it's like, oh yeah, she's young. She doesn't understand that I have to keep getting up in the night to go to the toilet. Like that. I thought it was funny. Yeah, I could go into all the other stuff he talks about with Walter. It's lots of jokes, if you can call them that. But no, I'm not going to dwell on each one too long. I'm just going to tell you what the next one is. The idea is that Walter would play Scrooge if this thing was made, which I don't think it ever will be. The next one is Bubba J. He brings up Bubba J. Now, Bubba J is a beer-drinking redneck. That's what it says on Wikipedia. So that's what we'll say here. And the idea is that he is going to be the ghost of Christmas past. And they don't talk a massive amount about A Christmas Carol, but they do talk quite a bit about Christmas. And we get this line, which I found quite funny.
Hey, in this movie, do we get presents? I don't know. Come on, presents are the best part about Christmas. Well, you know, Bubba J, it is better to give than to receive. Yes, especially when you're in prison.
And then Jeff is explaining to Bubba about A Christmas Carol. And most of the jokes, well, they're not that funny. And to be honest, some of them are a bit off colour. is one joke that isn't off color and not that funny. Have a listen.
You know, people have been reading A Christmas Carol for 150 years. Well, then I'd say it's too long.
And then Jeff explains to him that he wants him to be the ghost of Christmas past. And we get this joke.
You want me to be a ghost? Yeah, I shouldn't do it. Why not? It never goes well when there's a redneck and a white sheet.
To be honest, that was quite funny, I suppose. And then also, I think this little bit's worth playing as well. Have a listen.
Since the story takes place in Old England, yeah, can you speak with a British accent? Oh, yeah, sure. I do when the cops pull me over for driving on the wrong side of the road. Over there, officer. I had no idea you blokes drive on the wrong side of the road. Roar, 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 roar. Does that work? Oh, yeah. Because your accent is so good? No, because my teeth are so bad.
Well, none taken. And then the Bubba J segment ends with lots of like one-liners from Bubba J. He just reels them off. And I could play a couple of those, but I don't think they were that funny, to be honest. So I'm not going to. I'm just going to talk about the next character. So the next character is Little Jeff. And Little Jeff is pretty much a little version of Jeff Dunham. And his role is obviously going to be Tiny Tim. And he makes a joke about Tom Cruise, which is something, I suppose. Have a listen to this bit if you want. Here we go.
We're going to be shooting a movie and I want you to play Tiny Tim. Who are you calling Tiny? No, no. It's just a character name. Well, I don't like it. I am taller than Tom Cruise, I'll have you know. Shut up, I am. He does his own stunts because little guys don't get hurt. I didn't know that. Oh, sure, you could carry him around in one of those frickin' suitcases, too. I see he could be in A Christmas Carol, Tiny Tom. I don't think so. Tiny Tom and Tiny Tim could fight evil Scrooge.
Yeah, and then they're talking about his role as Tiny Tim, and he says this.
Look, in the story, Tiny Tim is dying.
Aw, how come?
Well, you wrote his jokes.
Which I thought was actually apt, if not hilarious. And then they end it with Jeff saying, well, at the end of the show, you could sing A Christmas Carol. And he sings the first line, and Little Jeff sings the next line. And I think this was the funniest out of them.
Hark the herald angels sing.
Who is herald and is he a queen?
Yeah, and that's the end of that segment. And then we move on to the next one. So the next character is a character called Peanut. And he is a hyperactive, purple-skinned woozle with white fur, and he's got a tuft of green hair. And he's going to be the ghost of Christmas present. And I think he was my favourite, to be honest, out of all of the characters. I found him very funny, very lively. And again, we get lots of jokes, and this one I kind of liked.
What's your favourite part of Christmas?
The MILF on a shelf!
Oh, sorry, elf on a shelf.
Sorry, I get those two mixed up sometimes. What? Well, my friend's mom is incredibly hot, right? And incredibly short. So, MILF on a shelf. Stop it. Okay, sorry.
There's something in there. And then he follows it up with this.
Can't wait to kiss her under the camel toe. Mistletoe.
Which I also thought was quite funny, actually. It's something, isn't it? And then Peanut says, well, if I'm going to be the ghost of Christmas present, I should give out presents. And this guy comes on from backstage and brings out this present. And Jeff opens the present up, unwraps it, to reveal it is a peanut ventriloquist dummy. And it's about two-thirds the size of the actual peanut. And we get a six-minute advert for this doll, which you can buy on Amazon. And he tells you that. Don't worry about that. He mentions where you can buy it. And we do get a fun bit during this infomercial, because that's pretty much what it is, an infomercial, where Jeff is doing both puppets, but when he's doing the little ventriloquist puppet, the one you can buy, his lips are moving, and he's not doing the same voice as Peanuts. In fact, to be honest, he sounds a lot more like Bubba J, I thought, when he was doing that one. And their segment has very, very little to do with A Christmas Carol. In fact, next to nothing, apart from the fact that Peanut is meant to be playing the ghost of Christmas past. And then we get the last one, and this is Ahmed the Dead Terrorist. And if you're not familiar with him, you should be, really. He's very famous. He is a skeletal corpse of an incompetent suicide bomber. And he's known for his catchphrase, "Silence, I kill you." And I'll tell you an interesting fact that I read on Wikipedia. His eyes, which are like his most prominent feature, because he is a skeleton, but his eyes were made by the same people that made the eyes for the creatures in Jurassic Park. When you look at them, they really do look like proper eyes when they're looking at Jeff. It's a very impressive effect, to be honest. He doesn't want to play the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, although this annoyed me a little bit because Jeff mentions who better to play Death than Ahmed. And I've heard that before in another version of A Christmas Carol where they refer to the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come as Death. And he's not Death. He might look a bit like him. He's the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. They're probably not even related. They've just got similar dress sense. Anyway, he doesn't want to be the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. He wants to play Santa. And he comes on and sings this song.
Death to my pal Ebenezer, tha la 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 la, bye bye. You will soon be one dead geezer, tha la 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 la, you'll fry. You can help that tiny Timmy, tha la 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 la, or turn blue. Take it from me, the Grim Reaper, tha la 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 la, I kill you.
That was something. And then, as they're chatting, he realizes he can't be Santa because of this.
Wait, on second thought, I don't think I can be Santa.
Why not?
I'm on a no-fly list. It's not funny. I kill you from here.
Yeah. But what is interesting about this, they do sort of talk about his role as the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, and we get this bit where he's talking about what his lines are. Have a listen.
Look, if I play this ghost, what are my lines?
Oh, the ghost you play is silent.
Silent?
Right.
And you mean I don't say anything?
That's correct.
How can I yell silence if I am always silent?
Yeah. And he says, well, you just stand there and you just point. And he's like, you want me to point?
You take Scrooge to a cemetery and simply point to his grave.
You want me to point?
And then this is mildly humorous. Because his arms are just hanging there. He's just sort of moving his shoulders, trying to get his arms to swing up and point. But obviously he can't because Jeff's only moving his head and his eyes and his eyebrows, actually, as well. And then his arms fall off and then his ribs fall off and then his legs are all splayed out as well. And he has to fix him. And it's just something, really, where he's all falling apart. And then Jeff puts him back together again. And then we get this joke at the end, because they're still talking about him wanting to be Santa.
Look, the story takes place in old London. Do you know what they call Santa Claus in England?
Hey, you fat American, get the f*** off my roof! Oh, come on. I should have done that with a British accent. What the hell? Me with my accent doing a British accent? What the hell does that sound like?
I don't know.
Clearly, because I just heard it and you almost lost a tonsil.
And that's pretty much it. And Jeff goes to put him away. And then he's like, oh, you've got something for me to give to Walter. And he's talking inside the box where he's just put the dummy away. And he takes out a bomb. And then he's like, oh, you know, Walter's not here. And he puts it back in the box. And then we hear like an explosion. And then he opens the box and there's loads of smoke comes out and he lifts Ahmed out again and he's all blown up and covered in soot and stuff. And then he puts him away again. And that's the end. I say that's the end. It's not quite the end because then his wife and his two sons come up on stage and sort of wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And then that's the end. And actually, one other thing about the whole Ahmed Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come bit. So the backdrop changes because it's like a big screen and it's a graveyard. And one of the graves is Ebenezer Scrooge's grave. And let me read out what it says on it. So it says, in memoriam of Ebenezer Scrooge, though far better it would be were he forgotten. Then it's got his date of birth and when he died. And underneath that it says, the original miser, the tragedy was that he died too late rather than too soon. And I thought that was something. But it's got the dates, and it says he was born on the 7th of February, 1789. I don't know why. I was interested in that. I looked up Jeff Dunham's birthday to see, you know, what his birthday was, and it's not February. And I thought, well, maybe that's when he invented Walter. No idea. Anyway, 1789 till the 19th of December, 1843. Now, if that's the case, A Christmas Carol was written and published in 1843, which means Scrooge is already dead, or would be already dead, when the book came out. He would be dead if he didn't change his future. 19th of December, see? So he died before the Christmas Eve. Like most versions suggest it was set Christmas 1843. I don't know. Anyway, just something I noticed in the background. Not important. To be honest, the whole thing's not important. It's not a version of A Christmas Carol. It's just one of his specials where he's got a theme. His previous Christmas special, Jeff Dunham's Very Special Christmas Special, that was first shown in 2008 and at the time was the highest rated telecast in Comedy Central's history. So there you go. He's got good form for Christmas specials, so let's have another one. Here's the deal, boys and girls. As ventriloquists go, Jeff Dunham is fantastic. The voices, sometimes you see ventriloquists and they can only do one voice. So if they've got more than one character, the voices sound very similar. Not so with Jeff Dunham. He's a fantastic ventriloquist. There's no doubt about that. Problem I have, I just don't think he's very funny. Like I said earlier, a lot of his jokes are a bit off colour, but I'm not easily offended. I just didn't find them funny. A lot of it's not even jokes, I don't think. I just thought it was stuff being said. So incredibly talented as a ventriloquist, but I think if he was just a comedian, well, I don't think he'd be doing quite as well at all. That's just my opinion though, boys and girls. He is incredibly popular. Like I said earlier, he was one of the top three paid comedians in the world, so I think he's doing all right for himself, and I think my opinions don't amount to much at all. But there we go. So, as versions of A Christmas Carol go, this ain't one, but you never know. I'll keep watching to see if he does actually release a version. I don't think he will, but, you know, we live in hope. That's pretty much it. If you want to check it out, it's on Amazon. I don't know where else it is. I'm sure you'll be able to find it. But now, boys and girls, we're going to do this.
The secret to the tiki bar? You spend enough time there, you may get a lot less classy, but you'll get a lot more fun. So if you hadn't heard, we recently hosted a big international event in the States. It was something called the World Cup. I guess it is kind of a big deal, especially that cool halftime show, Muppets. And you're not going to believe that it was supposed to be about football, but what they were really playing was soccer. This proved to be a daily, do you hear what I hear, reminder of how the 8 billion people on Earth, outside of the US, insist on calling this sport something different than we do here. For one glorious month, this tournament became an international cultural exchange. We learned how these foreign fans discovered our ranch dressing, Waffle House, and Costco, while we embraced chants, scarves, dramatic flops, and how a competitive match can end in a scoreless draw. The World Cup gave us a crash course in the game, but perhaps the biggest cultural surprise wasn't on the field. It was what I discovered on social media. I noticed that if you're a football fan, European use intended, and browsing Facebook or Instagram around Christmas, you'll see dozens, perhaps hundreds, of posts of short videos or photos wishing their fans Merry Christmas from the gaffer. These seem to be holiday greetings from football clubs to their supporters, but for an American, who or what is a gaffer? This is like receiving a Do You Hear What I Hear red card. A gaffer sounds to us like a Dickens character or a British chimney sweep. So what exactly does it mean? And why is this thing apparently responsible for wishing holiday cheer on behalf of every football club in Britain? As it turns out, the gaffer is the coach. The phrase Merry Christmas from the gaffer is a Christmas greeting from the boss of an organization, and most often will be a sports team. Gaffer is a traditional British term meaning the person in charge, but the word is much older than football. It derives from the Middle English word gaffer, meaning man in authority or official. Historically, this term was used by country people to address an elderly man or one whose position entitled him to respect. In Shakespeare's time, gaffer was used to describe the village elder or the head of a household. Later, the term was put in front of an individual's last name to show respect for a man who ranked below the master. So I would be, say, Gaffer Baker. By the 19th and early 20th centuries, gaffer became attached to foremen and supervisors in the trades and in a maritime context. So this affectionate term for an old man evolved to mean the boss or the person in charge of the workplace. And I think the most well-known example of this usage came in the Lord of the Rings book trilogy when Sam Gamgee refers to his dad as the old gaffer. His dad was the master gardener at Bag End. Sam calling him the gaffer was likely because his dad was the most respected gardener in the Shire. And I also found that this term is used occasionally in a humorous fashion to refer to your wife, like, I'll have to check with the gaffer to see if I can come down to the pub. What is surprising is how this one little British word sounds infinitely more interesting than coach. I mean, just think if America had adopted this tradition. We'd know that the friendliest man on television, Ted Lasso, was the gaffer all along. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Boys and girls, I recorded this episode before Bob had sent me the segments. You see, I've been on holiday, or I'm going on holiday. When this is released, it is the day after I get back off holiday. So I've done all the editing and stuff while I was away. So my point is, I don't know what Bob was just talking about, but I'll tell you this, it was bloody good. There's no doubt about that, because Bob is great. Well done, Bob. Now let's do this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Boys and girls, it is the quiz, it's the quiz. I've got to stop singing that. I did it last episode, I've done it previously as well. I just sing because I love the quiz. But you've already heard the jingle. Maybe I should get rid of the jingle and just have me sing. Do you want me to do that? I've done the jingle, it's a bit late now, but I'll sing it anyway. It's the quiz, it's the quiz. Everybody knows that it's the quiz. Okay, so last week's scores. I know I did 11 questions. I didn't know that at the time. I did know when Jennifer Kay emailed me. She was the first one, but she wasn't the only one. Now, last time I did 11 questions, only one person, which I believe was Jennifer Kay, I could be wrong, only one person messaged me to tell me I'd done 11 questions. This time, everyone was in on the act. You've done 11 questions. You've done 11. We hate you. You're a dick. You've done 11 questions. Yeah, I did 11 questions. It was a bonus question. And you should have been grateful. But you weren't grateful because you're a bunch of ingrates. Right. I don't know if these scores are correct now because we talked about this last time I put an extra question in. You might have taken away how many got wrong. I said I scored 8. Turns out I scored 9 because I didn't realise I had 11 questions. I'm just going to read out the scores I was sent in. It's your responsibility to get your score right. Write down how many you got right, not how many you're getting wrong. That's what I did wrong. I don't intend to add an extra question again. I will try and be a bit more vigilant. But mistakes happen. And fortunately, I have you lot out there to point out my errors. Thank you. Right, with 4 points, we've got Jack Unverfirth. Well done, Jack. Well done for only getting 4. For getting the lowest score. With 5 points, we've got John Gomez. With 6 points, we've got Caroline Cole, Benji Pearson, Barbara Wright, David Ferguson, and for the first time sending in our scores, one of my fellow countrymen from South London, we've got the beautiful Stephanie James. And you're thinking, how does he know she's beautiful? Of course she's beautiful. You're all beautiful. Also, with 6 points, we've got Todd Pulte. Now, he said it's either 5 points or 6 points because the question about midnight mass, he said, my family have always called that candlelight service. And I'm letting you have it. I'm letting you have it, Todd, because you're a good guy. So Todd scored 6 as well. With 7 points, we've got Jennifer Kay, Martin Goodman, Mary Pulte, Ed Daly, Frank Talley, Stephen Beach, and Mike Westphal. Now, Mike Westphal got the question right about the snowman and the snow dog. Do you remember that one? I got it wrong. I was 1 year out. Mike got it. And the reason he got it, he said, is because that was the year he found out that no one else knew anything about the snowman. Because he was talking to other people about it, and they're like, what are you talking about? The snowman, which is our most popular Christmas cartoon in the UK, not popular at all in the US, but he knew about it. And he scored 7 points. With 8 points, we've got Sean Sotka. And with 9 points, we've got Pamela Wootton, the same as me. Even though I said I got 8, I actually got 9 because I can't count. Right, boys and girls, the quiz is a little bit different this week. It's a little bit different. I'm changing things moving forward. So the question is going to be the same. At the end, I'll explain what's different. Right, here we go. Question numero uno. In the film Last Christmas, what Christmas character does Katerina dress as when she's at work? Simple question. She's at work. What's she wearing? Question number two. This is a good one. I like this question. It's tricky, but not super tricky if you're a fan of A Christmas Carol. What is the name of Scrooge's sister in A Christmas Carol? And we're talking about the book, because I've talked about this before. There have been name changes in film versions, and that bothers me. But in the book, what's his sister called? Okay, next one. On what day was the Great British Bake Off Christmas special aired in 2021? I'm just kidding, kids. What a wank of a question that is. In what day? Who knows that? It's the, I don't know when this book, well, I'll find out. When was this book released? Right, this book was published, it was first published in 2022. Okay, so this is, they're talking about the year before. So if you bought the book when it first came out, then you might remember when, because who gives a shit though, boys and girls? Really, that is not one of the questions. I just wanted to show you what I have to put up with this book. Right, ignore that question. There's not 11 questions. That one isn't part of it. Do you want to know the day? I'll give you peace. If it gives you peace of mind, I'll tell you now. It was Christmas Day. There you go. Happy now? I'm not. Right. Question number three. What did George Washington famously cross on Christmas Day in 1776? I'll tell you what he crossed. He crossed a kangaroo with a sheep. He got a woolly jumper. No. Question number something. What links Lars Ulrich, Connor Mason and Kit Harington? Well, I'll tell you what links Lars Ulrich and Connor Mason. I've never heard of either of them. But what links those three people? You might have heard of them. What links three people that you may or may not have heard of? Okay, next one. What is the name of the book written in 1816 by E.T.A. Hoffman, which was later turned into a ballet? Yeah? Thinking really hard? Question number seven. Okay, right. Let me read the question out. I'm going to give you some parameters. According to US scientists, how many homes would Father Christmas need to visit a second in order to deliver every present on Christmas Eve? Right. Here's the thing. How the fuck are you going to get that? You're not, are you? Of course you're not. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say to the nearest 100, and it is less than 3,000. Now, I didn't give myself that. I guessed a figure. I was bloody miles out. So I'm giving you a bit of a head start on that. You've got to get to the nearest 100 and it's less than 3,000. Right, next one. What animated Christmas classic lost out to Toy Story 4 at the Academy Awards in 2020? So, pretty sure this film came out in 2019. Christmas classic. What could it be? Feature length, don't forget, kids. From 2019. Question number something. What is the chemical formula for snow? Any scientists out there should get that, shouldn't they? Next one. Where would you be if someone wishes you Meli Kaliki Maka? I have talked about that in a previous episode. I'm not going to go into it because I did in a previous episode. So why would I go into it now? Listen to the old episode. I don't know which one it was. And a final question. What does Julemanden mean literally in Danish? Now I'm gonna spell it for you, okay? So it's Jule, which is J-U-L-E, and then Manden, it's all one word, so I don't know why I'm doing it separately, but Jule is sort of, I'm not gonna give anything away. Manden, M-A-N-D-E-N. Okay, that's your 10 questions, right? Count them twice to make sure there's not 11 there, that one hasn't snuck in. So, this is the big change we're doing, boys and girls. Now, my listening figures are pretty naff. I've discussed it before. I've only got 3 listeners. What I thought I could do is, to get more people to listen or get people to come back, is I give the answers in the next episode. So, you are going to have to wait 2 weeks, but you've got your answers. Okay, they're in your brain. You might have written them down. I don't know. In 2 weeks' time, I will give you the answers. Now, you might be there thinking, what? This is madness. I'm just doing it purely for my own sake. Okay, I'm trying to get more listeners. I'm trying to keep the listeners I've got. And that's one little thing that might get people tuning into the next episode. Don't be angry about it. That's the way it is. I'm sure it's going to work great. I've got my fingers crossed on it. Okay. Now, boys and girls, we're doing this. This is a good one. Okay, most of my jokes have been naff, right? But this joke is actually a blinder. You're going to like this one. Okay, you ready? This is a good... I'm not joking either. This is actually a good joke. Here it comes. Ready? How do you piss off every single one of your listeners on a Christmas podcast? By telling them the quiz questions are going to be answered next episode. Ha ha ha! Gotcha! Hey, done ya, didn't I? Done ya. Ha 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 ha. Yes, I'd never do a stupid thing like that. I don't care if I've got no listeners. If you want to listen to the show, you listen to the show. If you don't want to listen to the show, don't listen to the show. I'm just here to entertain. I gain nothing from this. In fact, it costs me a fortune. So, boys and girls, here come your answers. I'm so proud of that. I've been thinking about this all week and I thought, oh, this is a blinder. Oh, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. And I gotcha. And if there's one of you out there thinking, I didn't believe him. I don't believe you. I'm really chuffed with that. Don't spoil my joke. Right, let's get these answers out of there. Question number one. In Last Christmas, what Christmas character does Katerina dress as when she's at work? She is an elf. Yeah, I sort of remembered that. I've watched it once. I didn't mind it, actually. I know the reviews weren't great for it, but I thought it was a half-decent film. It was okay. It could have been worse, couldn't it? Question number two. What is the name of Scrooge's sister in A Christmas Carol? Well, that is Fan. Yeah, short for Fanny. Question number three. What did George Washington famously cross on Christmas Day in 1776? Well, he crossed a bulldog with a shih tzu. Yeah, he called it a bullshit. Oh, no, sorry. He crossed the Delaware River. Yeah. And I'm proud to say I got that one, boys and girls. Question number four. What links Lars Ulrich, Connor Mason and Kit Harington? Well, here's the deal, boys and girls. Do you remember in the last episode, I had the same question with 3 other people and they were all born on Christmas Day? Well, with this one, I thought, it's not going to be Christmas Day again, is it? No, I'm going to go Christmas Eve. Well, it was blooming Boxing Day, wasn't it? Yeah, so I went the wrong way. So that was the deal. They were all born on Boxing Day. Question number something. What is the name of the book written in 1816 by E.T.A. Hoffman, later turned into a ballet? Okay, here's the deal. It's actually called The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. I just said The Nutcracker. I will accept The Nutcracker, purely because if I don't accept it, I don't get a point. And I want that point. So yeah, that was the answer. I'll accept both. I bet all of you said The Nutcracker. I'd be amazed if anyone said And the Mouse King anyway. Right, next one. According to US scientists, how many homes would Father Christmas need to visit a second in order to deliver every present on Christmas Eve? Well, going into this completely blind, I said, I don't know, 2,000? Well, the answer is 822. So if you said 700, 800 or 900, you can have it. Any more than that, any less than that, you're getting nothing, kids. You'll get nothing. You'll get a lump of coal, which is more than nothing. You're not getting nothing. You get a lump of coal. No, you're getting nothing. You're not even getting a lump of coal. Right, next one. What animated Christmas classic lost out to Toy Story 4 at the Academy Awards in 2020? Do you know what? I thought The Grinch came out in 2018, didn't it? The animated one. So I'm thinking, what else came out? It was Klaus, wasn't it? Or Claus. But I'm pretty sure it's called Klaus, or it might be called Claus. Yeah, the Netflix one. And I've watched that a couple of times. Tried to watch it with the girls. They weren't big fans, but I really liked it. So I didn't get that one. Okay, next one. What is the chemical formula for snow? Well, it's water, isn't it? So it's H2O. Yeah, I got that one. I'm proud of myself. Next one. Where would you be if someone wishes you Meli Kaliki Maka? Well, here's the deal. You could be anywhere, because it's just words that people say. But that's the greeting in Hawaii. And the final one, what does Julemanden mean, literally, in Danish? Well, kids, I think I covered this. And the answer is, Jule, obviously, Jule, Christmas. Manden means, and I'm there looking at it, I don't know, Christmas Day, Merry Christmas. And I thought, do you know what, Manden, I think it's a bloke. And then I remembered that when I talked, I didn't think it was Denmark, actually, but maybe it was. I talked about Father Christmas, maybe it was Denmark. I talked about Christmas somewhere, and it turned out that they had both Santa Claus and Christmas Man. And Christmas Man, that's the answer, Christmas Man. Christmas Man is pretty much Father Christmas. They actually had both. Their Santa Claus was more like St. Nicholas, and Christmas Man was more like Father Christmas / Santa Claus. Yeah. St. Nicholas, as in, I'm not going to go into it, but he wears the bishop's robes and the mitre and rides on a white horse, that sort of stuff. Anyway, that's the 10 questions, boys and girls. I scored 7 because I got that blooming one wrong about Klaus. I also didn't know that those people's birthdays were on the 26th of December, and I was miles out when it came to how many homes Father Christmas would have to visit. So 7 for me, kids. Make sure you send in your scores. You know the deal, you send me a score. That's the deal. It's very straightforward. Email address, totalchristmas@gmail.com. Now we're doing this.
Where are you, Christmas?
Where are you, Christmas? How about Einsiedeln, Switzerland? If you recall that last episode, we discovered Brescia, Slovenia. So I wanted to visit Einsiedeln today, as these two locations are almost mirror images of each other in how they represent Christmas, with less focus on the ho 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 and more emphasis on the spiritual side of the holiday. Whereas in Brescia, we found the Nativity Museum, in Einsiedeln, you will find a giant diorama of the Christmas story. And this is not done with projections or CGI. These are hand-carved images of the Holy Family, the shepherds, and all of the opulence of the three kings displayed in an area the size of an American football field. The combination of the figures displayed against a painted backdrop creates an illusion of vastness. These lifelike sculptures are almost 100 years old, and the detailed display creates an immersive experience that recreates the ancient Bethlehem region. And next door, you'll find a 1,000-year-old abbey. This Baroque monastery is enormous and ornately decorated with carvings, paintings, frescoes, and mosaics. But amongst its vaulted ceilings and pillars is the popular Christmas cupola depicting the birth of Jesus. It is also home to the Black Madonna Shrine. The Black Madonna is a famous 15th century statue of the Virgin Mary and the Christ Child housed inside the abbey, and it attracts 800,000 pilgrims and visitors a year. It was carved from wood that turned coal black over the centuries from the soot of the oil lamps and burning candles. Now, beyond the abbey and the diorama, you'll find a charming old town with cobblestone streets and plenty of tourist shops, cafes, and restaurants. But during your walk through Einsiedeln, you can stop at the Goldapfel Gingerbread Museum, where you can learn about the history of the famous Einsiedeln gingerbread, or Einsiedelner Lebkuchen, with its unique recipe that has been kept secret for several centuries and prepared according to the ancient monastery tradition. The museum tells the whole story of the creation of this treat, and of course, they offer you fresh samples to taste. Now, if you know of another divine place with a secret holiday recipe, will you bless it with Jack? He'll preach it to me, and together we'll find Christmas around the world.
Another great segment from Bob there, which I have no idea at the time of recording what it was about. But I'll tell you this, boys and girls, it was very good, just like the last one. Thanks so much for that, Bob. Don't forget to check out Bob's podcast, boys and girls, Festive Foreign Film Fans. There's a link in the show notes. You can't miss it. Now we're doing this. Now, boys and girls, this segment is a little bit different to things I've done in the past. Quite often I've been on other people's podcasts where I've talked about my Christmas, but I never really talk about my Christmas much on this podcast, my own podcast. And during the week, it popped into my head about all the different Christmas decorations we have on our tree, and I just wanted to chat about that. Now, some people's houses, you'll go in there, and it's like they've nicked their Christmas tree from a department store. It's all very generic, lots of baubles, all in similar colours. And don't get me wrong, you know, that's delightful, it's beautiful, but it's not like our Christmas tree. Now, our Christmas tree, most of the decorations are completely individual and unique, unlike anything else on the tree. We do have a few baubles that are similar, but most of them completely different. And we don't use tinsel, we don't use the garlands, and we don't use the angel hair type, the single strands. Don't get me wrong, I'd like to, but my wife's always been adamant that she doesn't want that on our tree. The girls do on their tree, they have another tree in the kitchen. That's the wife's decision, and I've just gone along with it. Now, we do have lights, but we don't have coloured lights. We just have white ones. Again, that's the wife's decision. The girls, they have coloured lights on their tree. So, like I said, nearly all the decorations on ours are individual and unique ones, and I want to talk about five of them. Now, the first one I want to talk about is the oldest decoration I've got. Now, this one comes back from when I was like 3 or 4 years old. Now, I couldn't tell you the exact date I got it. It was a Christmas party. I think it might have been when I was at what was called play school, which is kind of like kindergarten in some countries, the place you go to before you go to school. And it's an old Father Christmas decoration, and it's hollow plastic, and it's Father Christmas sat down holding a big Christmas present. It's quite a large decoration, probably the size of my fist. I haven't got particularly big fists, but I've got a normal fist. And Father Christmas, he hasn't got a full beard. He hasn't got the beard and moustache. He's just got the beard running around the outside of his chin, which I don't think I really noticed when I was young. And it's definitely showing his age. Now, this decoration is well over 40 years old. And back then, when I got it, I was only a very small child, well, a preschooler. So it's got areas that have been nibbled. And there's also areas where the paint has come off it as well. When I say paint, whatever it's covered in, it's like paint. But I love it. And here's the thing. I used to always love putting that on our tree back when I was a kid at home. But then for years, it went missing. And I think my mum just hid it because she never liked it. She was never a fan of it. Like I said, it's quite big. Maybe it's bigger than my fist. And I don't think she liked it because it was so big. And also, I'm not sure if she was a fan of the lady that gave it to me either, to be honest. Let's not go into that. But I've got a feeling that might have been part of it. So I think she just hid it away and never got it out come Christmas. But then one year after I'd moved out, she said, oh, I found this old decoration of yours. So now I get to put it on my tree and I love it. And every year that's one of the ones I put on. Certain decorations my wife will like to put on herself. Certain decorations I like to put on myself. And that's my oldest decoration and one of my favourites. Now, the next decoration I want to talk about isn't actually on our tree. It's on the girls' tree. And this decoration is the one that actually tops the tree. And it's a penguin made out of the centrepiece of a toilet roll. So when Robin was really little, I used to take her to what was called Bella Doodles. And this was a craft shop. And in the mornings, they do a session for preschoolers where you'd pay, I think it was about a fiver, and you'd get a cup of tea and a biscuit. And the kids would do a little craft project. Nothing major. Normally, it involved making something out of a paper plate and then painting it. Or I guess in this case, a toilet roll and then painting it. So leading up to Christmas, they started doing Christmas decorations. And one of the things they made was this penguin. And so again, this would be from when Robin was a preschooler. I guess she would have been about 3 maybe when she made it, maybe 4. And it's a penguin, toilet roll, with little feet and little wings that we stuck on there. And then she painted it black. And every time we get it out, got to be careful with this one, you know, got to wrap it up a bit gently because it could get squished. But then we get it out. It's sometimes the last decoration that goes on because it's the topper. And what's cool about it is because it's hollow, it can fit over the top of the tree. You know, the stem that goes up through the middle of the tree just slides on down there, sitting in pride of place, lording itself up over the tree. Now, there's a few other decorations that we made at Bella Doodles that go on the tree, but that's my favourite, and I think it's the girls' favourite as well. So the third decoration is another one of my favourites, and this was the very start of a tradition that we began. Now, this is before the girls were born. In fact, it was before we lived in the house we live in now. Before we got married, my wife had a flat in town, and we both lived there before we got married, and we had a Christmas tree. And one year, we went to visit my nan in a city not far away that she lives in, and we were walking around the shops, and we went in this particularly nice one that had loads of different decorations, and my wife and I individually chose a decoration. We didn't discuss it. Like, I picked one and she picked one. She picked a little porcelain Santa Claus, and I picked a hollow glass snowman. It's hard to explain. Well, I suppose I just did explain it. It's hollow and it's glass, and it's got like the features of a snowman, all also made of glass. And because it's hollow and clear, you can see into his belly, and his belly is filled with polystyrene balls, or you might call them styrofoam balls. I know Bob Baker would in Do You Hear What I Hear, because I'm pretty sure he covered that one. It's a very classy decoration, I like to think. I remember buying it and I was so chuffed with it, and then we went out for a meal afterwards, and I remember going in the bag and getting it out and looking at it again at the table when we were sat at the restaurant. And like I say, that started a tradition. So every year after that, we'd individually buy our own decoration, a new one to go on the tree. Now, I won't lie to you, we haven't managed to keep it up every year. Most years we've done a pretty decent job of it. Not every year, but that was the first ever year. And it's always nice, again, when I open up the box of decorations and I take that one out. It's wrapped in bubble wrap to keep it safe because it is glass. And I unwrap it and there it is. And it reminds me of that first year when we started buying a decoration each to go on the tree. Now, the next decoration I want to talk about is Charlie Brown. Now, I've talked about Charlie Brown before. I know you all know just how much I love Charlie Brown. And I have a decoration that my wife bought me for Christmas one year. And it's Charlie Brown walking along holding his Christmas tree. And of course, I absolutely love it. I remember opening it up. And this is before I had the podcast. Obviously, I've always loved Christmas. But I remember opening it up and being absolutely overjoyed, thinking, that's a perfect gift, that is. That is the perfect gift. And every year, out it comes, and I always find a good spot where I can see it every time I look at the tree. And there's Charlie Brown holding his Christmas tree. His sad, scrawny Christmas tree that just needs a little bit of love. I do have other decorations of Charlie Brown, Snoopy, and the other Peanuts gang, but that's by far my favourite one. Now, the last one I want to talk about isn't one, it's lots of decorations. And these are all very, very special. And they are from the listeners from my podcast. Now, I've been doing the podcast about 6 years now. And ever since the first year, I've received decorations from people that listen to the show. And forgive me if I forget any, but I wanted to list the ones that I've received. Now, the first one I ever got was from Bjorn Hannibal. Now, Bjorn Hannibal, I haven't heard from him in a while, so I don't know if he still listens. I tend not to chase up old listeners going, oh, you still listening? I don't want to feel like I'm pestering them. But one year, he sent me a Danish decoration, and I could try and explain it, and I did look into it because he sent a little message with it. It was like a folded paper one, and it's a heart, but it's, oh, goodness. Do you know what? Unless I had pictures of it, I can't explain it. I would put pictures on Facebook, but I'm just too lazy. So let me try and describe it. It's a heart that's folded with bits of paper that are interwoven. And it's just flat, a bit of paper. Now, I won't lie to you, my wife's not a fan of it because she thinks it's a bit basic. But I like it because it was sent by a listener, a really thoughtful listener, that thought I would like it. And he was right, I do like it. And he explained a little bit about it in his note when he sent them through. And I did keep meaning to talk about these decorations on the show. And maybe I did. I mean, it's been 6 years nearly now. Or maybe I didn't. But anyway, that was the first decoration I received from a listener, and I'm very fond of it. Now, Bob Baker has sent some decorations over the years. One of those was a lovely wooden one that actually says the Ford family, Happy Christmas, and it's Hawaiian themed, because of course, Bob Baker has his tiki bar. But he also sent me another one that says Chicago on it, and it's like a blown glass one. You know the kind? Like a proper bauble. Like those metallic looking ones. And both of those are prominently displayed. Well, actually, one of them on the tree, the Chicago one. But the other one, we actually hang it from the cupboard underneath the TV. So it's there in your eye line when we're looking at TV. It's always nice to see that one when it comes out. Now, of course, Shelley and Frank, my dear friends, they've sent a number of different decorations. One year, they sent us some wall art, 3 wooden plaques to put on the wall. One of them said, Walker. One of them said, you know I love you. And the other one says, God bless us, everyone. Now, she's also sent me some Christmas Village stuff, and it's a Dickens Christmas Village, and I can't lie to you, kids. I absolutely love that stuff. When I put that out, I'm so proud of it. I really am. But also, a good few years ago now, they sent me a lovely bauble that they'd bought from Brunner's, which is the world's biggest Christmas shop, and it's a blown glass one, but it had all gardening equipment on it, because I'm a gardener. And I thought that was such a thoughtful gift, a decoration about me being a gardener. They've been very kind, Shelley and Frank have. Also, another listener that I haven't heard from for a while, Eddie Honan, he was on the show one time. He's frequently played Fezziwig in his local production of A Christmas Carol. He sent 2 Disney decorations for the girls. One was Belle from Beauty and the Beast for Juno, and the other was Cinderella for Robin. And every year, those ones actually don't go on the girls' tree, they go on our tree. And every year, those are pretty much the only 2 decorations the girls get to put on our tree, and they choose where they go. Lovely decorations, they really are. And the last one I want to mention was from Joanna Going. And she sent us some lovely hand-knitted decorations. For the girls, she sent them both the head of a gonk, or maybe a Yule lad, like a little gnome head. For me, she sent the elf outfit, and it's just the clothes. It's really cool. It's like his tunic and his hat, and they're joined together by slender gold threads, so the tunic hangs below the hat. And for my wife, she sent a knitted angel, and they all go on the tree as well. And what made that special, of course, is that they were handmade, which is incredibly kind of her. So those are the decorations I wanted to chat about, boys and girls. And what's wonderful is every Christmas is just another tradition, and that's the beauty of Christmas, those old traditions that come out every year. And it's so nice when we open the boxes and my wife will go, oh, do you remember this one? Or do you remember this one? Do you remember this one? Oh, I love this one. This is my favourite. That's one of my favourites. Boys and girls, I can't recommend enough choosing a different decoration each year. It's easy enough to just buy a box of baubles, and that's fine, don't get me wrong, they've got their place. But to create new memories of when you've been out and then bring those memories to life every Christmas is a true joy. And I want to finish by saying that when Shelley and Frank Arnold came over about a month or so ago, when we went out for days out to different places, that was one thing they'd do, is they'd make sure they bought a Christmas ornament from those places. So they've got one from Salisbury Cathedral. I believe they've also got one from Stonehenge. And then come Christmas, they can bring those out and remember the holiday they had. So there you go, boys and girls. Just a different segment that I wanted to share with you. Some of my favourite Christmas decorations. Now, if you've got something you want to share about your Christmas, it doesn't have to be your favourite Christmas decoration, although I'd love to hear about it. But if you want to share the Christmas traditions you've got, then ideally you could record it on your phone and then email it through, or you can just type it out and I'll read it out. I'd love to hear from you. I really would. And then I can share your traditions with everyone else. Now, boys and girls, we're doing this. Boys and girls, I don't have a recommendation this week because I've just been listening to the same old podcasts as I have been for the last few weeks. So, yeah, I guess that's it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. Of course, I want to say thank you to Bob Baker for his segments. Thank you, of course, to everyone who sent in their score. Make sure to send in your scores this week. You know the email address, but I'll give it to you again. It's totalchristmas@gmail.com. And you know what? While you're sending me that score, why not tell me one of your Christmas traditions? Do you know what? Even if you want to give me a couple of lines of what it is, then maybe a few people will send some in and I can just read out a list. That might be nice, mightn't it? The answer is yes. It would be very nice, in fact. So why don't you get off your arse and do it? I'll be back again in 2 weeks. But in the meantime, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas. It's Christmas Day!